Thank you. pianist Ivo Pogorelic and the piano sonata number 6 in A major from 1940, opus 82 of Sergei Prokofiev. And this is A440 on WFMU. My name is Bethany. Welcome. Excited about the show this week. That piece, this was the second in the set, was a recommendation from someone I was having a conversation with very briefly in a stairwell, and he was saying that he played piano, but now mostly in like punk kind of noisy bands. And I said, "Did you practice classically?" "Yes." "Cool," I say. My next question always is, "Did you have a particular piece of repertoire that might not have been so well known, but you loved?" And immediately, he says, "Prokofiev, Piano Sonata number 6. I thought, it will be on the show Tuesday at 8 p.m. And it was written in 1940 and one of three of Prokofiev's war sonatas. So there was a lot of turmoil in Russia and during Prokofiev's lifetime, and that, you know, spanned the lives and influenced the lives and had also caused... you know, we got the end of it, which is kind of the cultural stuff where it showed up in the music, but a difficult time in that country. Yes, a European expat, Igor Stravinsky before that, from 1916. We heard just a few pieces from Reynard the Fox, a burlesque tale in song and dance written in 1916. Really brassy, really cute, a one-act ballet of Stravinsky's, and I haven't seen that, but yeah, the Fox, Reynard the Fox, who has a bit of his own history in literature and plays. So we will continue this evening by something written 4 years prior by Prokofiev, probably one of his best known pieces, and still a good piece. So contrast to that challenging, still very contemporary sounding, though we're looking at like 76 years ago that was composed. So this is Prokofiev's Opus 67. I hope you enjoy, and you can always write to us on the playlist comments page. So you go to wfmu.org and click the part that says live stream playlist comments playlist page. It's A440 with Bethany, and say hello if you so desire, and let me know if you recognize the narrator.
This is the story of Peter and the Wolf. Each character in this tale is going to be represented by a different instrument of the orchestra. For instance, the bird will be played by the flute, like this. Here's the duck, played by the oboe. The cat, by the clarinet. Bassoon will represent grandfather. The Wolf by the French Horns. And Peter by the Strings. The blast of the hunter's shotguns, played by the kettle drums. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went out into the big green meadow. On a branch of a big tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend.
All is quiet, all is quiet,
chirped the bird gaily. Yes, all is quiet. Just then, a duck came waddling round. She was glad that Peter hadn't closed the gate and decided to take a nice swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Seeing the duck, the little bird flew down upon the grass, settled next to her, and shrugged his shoulders.
What kind of bird are you if you can't fly?
Said he. To this the duck replied, What kind of bird are you if you can't swim? and dived into the pond. They argued and argued, the duck swimming in the pond and the little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. It was a cat crawling through the grass. The cat thought, the bird is busy arguing. I'll just grab him. Stealthily, she crept towards him on her velvet paws.
Look out! Shouted Peter. And the bird immediately flew up into the tree. While the duck quacked angrily at the cat, from the middle of the pond, the cat walked round the tree and thought, is it worth climbing up so high? By the time I get there, the bird will have flown away. Just then, Grandfather came out. He was angry because Peter had gone into the meadow.
It's a dangerous place. If a wolf should come out of the forest, then what would you do?
Peter paid no attention to his grandfather's words. Boys like Peter aren't afraid of wolves. But Grandfather took Peter by the hand, locked the gate, and led him home. Thank you. no sooner had Peter gone than a big, gray wolf came out of the forest. In a twinkling, the cat climbed up into the tree. The duck quacked, and in her excitement, jumped out of the pond. But no matter how hard the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer, nearer, catching up with her. And then he got her, and with one gulp, swallowed her. Now, this is how things stood. The cat was sitting on one branch. The bird on another. Not too close to the cat. And the wolf walked round and round the tree, looking at them with greedy eyes. In the meantime, Peter, without the slightest fear, stood behind the closed gate, watching all that was going on. He ran home
got a strong rope, and climbed up the high stone wall. One of the branches of the tree, around which the wolf was walking, stretched out over the wall. Grabbing hold of the branch, Peter lightly climbed over onto the tree. Peter said to the bird, "Fly down and circle round the wolf's head. Only take care that he doesn't catch you." The bird almost touched the wolf's head with his wings, while the wolf snapped angrily at him from this side and that. How that bird teased the wolf. How that wolf wanted to catch him. But the bird was clever, and the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Peter made a lasso. And carefully letting it down, and down, and down. Caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. Feeling himself caught, the wolf began to jump wildly, trying to get loose. But Peter tied the other end of the rope to the tree. And the wolf's jumping only made the rope round his tail tighter. Just then, the hunters came out of the woods. Following the wolf's trail and shooting as they went. Thank you. But Peter, sitting in the tree, said, "Don't shoot! Birdie and I have already caught the wolf. Now help us take him to the zoo." Just imagine. Just imagine the triumphant procession. Peter at the head. After him, the hunters leading the wolf. Winding up the procession, Grandfather and the cat. Grandfather shook his head discontentedly.
"Well, and if Peter hadn't caught the wolf, what then?"
Above them flew Birdie, chirping merrily. "My, what brave fellows we are, Peter and I. Look what we have caught." And if one would listen very carefully, he could hear the duck quacking inside the wolf, because the wolf, in his hurry, had swallowed her alive. Thank you.
David Bowie, or Bowie, sometimes they say that, narrating Peter and the Wolf by Sergei Prokofiev. And today, I admit to you folks, today was the first day I knew that recording existed. And I was so overjoyed because I had that request to play the Prokofiev Piano Sonata number 6, and I had something else in mind, and wouldn't you know it, fit together just fine. So that was recorded in 1977, David Bowie with the Philadelphia Orchestra under Eugene Ormandy. It's an amazing performance, and it was released initially on green vinyl with the RCA typical red seal. So green and red, it may have been a kind of a Christmassy thing, because in some notes I read that Mr. Bowie thought that it was, he felt like it was a gift to his son, a Christmas present for his son Duncan Jones, who was then 7. So it was reissued on plain old black vinyl later, with the cover different too. And I did have someone, I asked on the playlist page if someone would look up how much that original pressing is going for, and I'm kind of surprised. It's not outrageous. It's kind of within that realm of what people will pay for something on the vinyl these days. So, a piece written in 1936, Peter and the Wolf's Opus 67, contrasted by the Piano Sonata number 6 from 1940, which, of course, Peter and the Wolf was written for kids, but you hear the layering and the kind of beautiful personification or anthropomorphization of the animals. You take a hard word and you make it even harder. That's what you do. Up next, a few. I played earlier The Aquarium from the Carnival of the Animals, and that's a whole piece by Camille Saint-Saëns from way back then, 1886. That aquarium piece is by far, I think, the most enchanting of the series, but we'll hear a few others that are birds and four-legged hoofed animals and amphibians and things that bounce around. That's next. And guess what? We are. I'm encouraging you by this animal-themed song, animal-themed show, to take a look at the pets that are in the running for the WFMU mascot contest. And anybody who donates any amount of money to WFMU during this month, small amount, something you can do a little bit larger to support Freeform Radio, we would appreciate that. But you can enter your pet, picture of your pet, maybe a pet from Pets Past, and there will be a voting system for the next WFMU mascot. So check that out. I would love to see some representation of A440 in that gallery. And as a self-proclaimed dog lover, I've seen many, many felines in there. Didn't count to see if it's neck and neck. That's not to say to not enter your cat or your bird or whatever. but you will see soon my childhood pet Skittles, my avatar, on the playlist page as part of the mascot contest. Anyway, so that's a whole lot of fun. And again, like I said, a donation of any amount, wfmu.org/pledge, or anything. You can find it straight from our homepage. So please take a look. I'll have some people to thank who have generously donated to the show later towards the end. But let's get right to the London Symphony playing some excerpts, select pieces from The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns here on A440 WFMU.
Thank you.
So listener Linda said, wait till you hear the fishes. I love the fishes. And there isn't really one in that carnival. The animal is called fishes. So I thought maybe you meant the aquarium. And I had used that as bed music, we call it, or something to speak over before. So I thought, let's just do it in its entirety because it is so shimmery and absolutely beautiful. And it's a really bad pun right now, but this is Andrew Bird. From Weather Systems, but if you've listened to this show, you know that I use this one because it's near and dear to my heart. It's like coming home. So, Carnival of the Animals, Camille Saint-Saëns, written in 1886. From that, we heard Hens and Cocks, The Wild Asses, we can say that because it's not a curse word, Tortoises, and Kangaroos. And there were a lot of comments about those animals as they were being played. There's a number, many, many more of them. In fact, let's see, there are 15 total. So check out The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns. And here's a moment for us to thank the people who have pledged to the show during our quick and silent fundraiser. But let's just say thanks to Eric S. from Milwaukee and Terry from New Baltimore, New York. Nick from Brooklyn, Gabriel from Washington, Quinn from Woodside, Stephen from New Arlington, Eric from Woodside, Carolyn from Alpine, Texas, Lisa from Brooklyn. And I want to thank you all so much. This show is at 62% of its goal. That makes me so pleased. And any amount, the minimum amount is $10, but any amount, you can enter your pet into the mascot contest. And here is the creme de la creme, what I have been waiting to play for you all day. It is a parody on a Scarlatti fugue, and it's a story that maybe he had a cat named Pulcinella who would run on harpsichord keys. Anyway, it's sort of like an opera buffo piece, and it is being sung by a boys choir here. There's no way you won't enjoy this. This is A440 on WFMU. My name is Bethany, and here's something inspired by 18th century Domenico Scarlatti.
Thank you.
You can kind of meow along with this one. It doesn't disappoint. It's on YouTube. You can find it by putting in the keywords cat duet boys choir. It's the French Christian boys choir. There's a story to this about the composer Scarlatti having a kitten named Pulcinella who would walk across keyboard, and then that this actual bit was composed by someone else as kind of a buffo, a parody of Scarlatti. So that's it for this animal-inspired edition of A440 on WFMU. Irene Trudell is next, and Irene, did you have a cat?
Yes,
named?
My beloved Pulcinello, who we called Nello. He died of cancer last January, but he did used to walk across my husband's Wurlitzer piano keys and plink, 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 and
so we're connecting your cat to Scarlatti's cat, and that cat lived sometime between 1685 and 1757. Mm. So we're time traveling here today.
Yes, we are. Love it.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, Rockland County 91.9 FM. I'll be back next week, and stay tuned for Irene.